The Robredo campaign and former supporters of Iscol Moreno slammed Sunday's press conference, where Moreno called on the vice president to withdraw from the presidential race. We'll discuss this with the head of the Moreno campaign volunteer team, attorney Gilbert Lawenko. No surrender for Ukraine's forces defending the port city of Mariupol as Russia's deadline expires. Shanghai reports its first COVID death since implementing a lengthy lockdown. And a WHO official echoes the warning of Philippine health experts of a possible COVID surge in the country next month. Hi, I'm Camille Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Vice President Lenny Robredo asked to withdraw from the presidential race. Manila Mayor Francisco Iscol Moreno Dumagoso made that call during a joint press conference Sunday with other presidential bets, Senator Panfilo Lacson and former Defense Secretary Norberto Gonzalez. Moreno claims Robredo, who ranks second in pre-election surveys, may not be able to catch up with frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr.
Kung meron mang supreme sacrifice, Marlon, yung number two should do and start initiating the supreme sacrifice. Let Lenny withdraw. Withdraw Lenny. I'm calling for Lenny to withdraw. Kasi whatever you're doing is not effective against the Marcos. Withdraw, come and join us. Join us. Pwede pasab. Pasab naman. Baka kami maka 3 points.
Eh kung talaga po natin gustong talunin yung number one, eh bakit, baka dapat po palitan natin yung player natin sa number two.
Senator Lacson and Gonzalez also warned destabilization may occur in the country if Marcos wins the elections.
I cannot believe for the life of me that there are more than 50% loyalists in this country. No? Marcos loyalists. We also don't want Marcos to win because the stabilization na abutin natin. No? Imagine the situation, nanalo siya, hindi titigil itong kabila. Baka pwedeng yung ibang alternative naman that can really and genuinely unite our people na mga colorblind. This is not all about against Lenny. This is not all about against Marcos. Or for Marcos or for Lenny. This is offering other options.
Natatakot din ako sa implikasyon na manalo ang isang Marcos ulit.
Moreno also repeatedly said their move has nothing to do with Robredo being a woman. But in a separate remark, he said they're going easy on her because of her gender. Senator Panfilo Lacson, meanwhile, clarifies he is not echoing Mayor Moreno's call for Vice President Robredo to withdraw from the presidential race. Lacson's spokesman adds the calls for withdrawal should not even be the key takeaway following Sunday's press conference.
Kumbaga nagsanga-sanga na ang mga kwento at mga pangyayari kahapon. But that said, I guess it is incumbent upon all of them, and even me, who represent one of the candidates yesterday, to reiterate what really was the big, should be the bigger message. We must remember, ang being portrayed right now is a, this is just a fight between the one and the two. Well, that is unfortunate, no? Precisely why the candidates reiterated yesterday na they still have other choices.
Vice President Robredo pushing or make that brushing off the statements of her rivals on Facebook. The vice president thanked her supporters for defending her, but she asked them to focus on campaigning instead with less than a month left before the actual polls. Earlier, Robredo spokesperson, attorney Barry Gutierrez, slammed the actions of other presidential bets. He says Sunday's event did nothing for anyone and that it only exposed the entitlement, fragility and toxicity of rival camps. Vice President Lenny Robredo takes her campaign to Infanta, Quezon, a day after some of her rivals urged her to withdraw from the race to Malacañang. Our very own Adrian Ayala now joins us with an update. Adrian, over to you.
Carmina, Vice President Lenny Robredo remains unbothered by calls for her withdrawal, primarily Mayors Como Moreno Tomagoso. She's joking with the withdrawal when you read a few placards, one of which said she should withdraw money from the ATM and not from.
Adrian, I'm sorry to cut your report short. We're going to try and get back to you, establish a clear line to you, but please keep your line open, Adrian, if you can hear me. We're going to call you right back. Your audio was coming in choppy. That was Adrian Ayalin, our correspondent there, who's been shadowing the campaign of Vice President Lenny Robredo. Moving on. Previous supporters of Iscol Moreno slam him and other presidential aspirants for attacking Robredo. In a statement, former MNDA General Manager Tim Orbos and other key members of Ikaw Muna Pilipinas expressed their disappointment over what they branded as vindictive machismo. They also accused the male bets of unwittingly becoming the greatest allies of Marcos. But Moreno's political party is dismissing their criticism.
They portrayed the vice president as a lady with no way to defend herself. Come on. Hindi naman batang paslit po si Vice Presidente. Kita mo naman yung drama na ginagawa nila rito. Now they're saying na nag-benefit si Bongbong Marcos. No, I don't think so. They could say it all they want because they are already with the Vice President's camp.
Last week, regional chapters of IM Pilipinas shifted their allegiance from Moreno to Robredo. The group's acting secretary general, however, said majority of their members are staying with the Manila mayor. A futile move, that's how one analyst is describing Sunday's joint press conference of select presidential bets. Professor Dindo Manhit says it's as if they were only admitting their own defeat against the current frontrunner.
Sanit kayo, pwersa, baka magkaroon ng momentum at hindi ko maintindihan. Dapat pag kailangan pala magsama para sabihin yun. Walang substantibo na sinabi. Parang sinabi nila na panalo na ang nangunguna.
Prior to their press conference, we had three of the presidential bets here on the program where they gave their views on a possible return of the Marcoses to power, and here's what they had to say.
I don't look at my opponents. Alam mo, hindi naman sila yung mga kalaban namin eh. Lagi kami, pag nag-uusap kami ni Senate President Soto, ang kalaban natin, pandemic, kahirapan, joblessness, corruption,
but
crime.
He's become a campaign issue on his own, Mr. Senator.
No, I don't look at them as my enemies. I look at issues as our common enemies, which I enumerated earlier.
Sa akin, sa bayan, gising kayo. Gising tayong lahat. Gising tayong lahat sa katotohanan. Gusto natin ng pagbabago. Hindi natin gustong ayaw natin ng paglubog palalo at paghirapan ng ating bansa. Gusto natin ng magandang kinabukasan.
Of course, winning is important because then we can do all the programs. But preventing a Marcos from entering Malacanang, that is something I cannot decide. You know, it's up to our people, but it's our major obligation to inform our people on what happened in the past. We are saying that why are we blaming the son from the sins of the father? For some very simple reason. One reason, Bongbong Marcos is one of the administrators of the wealth of Marcos.
And we have him back, our correspondent Adrian Ayalin. He's going to join us now with an update on Vice President Lenny Robredo's visit to Infanta in Quezon. Adrian, over to you.
Yes, Carmina, Vice President Lenny Robredo remains unbothered by calls for withdrawal, primarily made by Manila Mayor Iscol Moreno Domagoso. She jokingly mentioned the withdrawal, though, when she read a few homemade placards, one of which she should only withdraw money from an ATM and not from the presidential race. She then joked to the crowd gathered here in Infanta Town that her ATM account is already empty. And here in LR agreed that she should not withdraw from the race because for them she is qualified and she has a fighting sense. To the other candidates, also on the primary concern of supporters from voters from the indigenous peoples, youth, LGBT, and others was to oppose the Kaliwa Dam project. Robredo said she agrees with the people of Quezon opposed to the project, as she promised all government projects should have the approval of the people. But also with her running mate, Senator Kiko Pangilinan, who was also earlier rejected for Lenny to run. Robredo Pangilinan, including theirs, are also scheduled to hold rallies this afternoon in the island and in Marinduque. Back to you, Carmine.
Thanks a lot. Adrian Ayalin there joining us on the line. Take care, Adrian. Keep safe. Now, for more on Sunday's joint press conference of several presidential bets, we're now joined by the head of the campaign volunteer team of Manila Mayor Isko Moreno, Attorney Gilbert Lawenco. Attorney Lawenco, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Ms. Carmina, and good afternoon to all our audience. Thank you very much for inviting.
Sure. Let's begin with this question. Is it clear to you and the other volunteers why that press con was even called?
Yes. Actually, all of the volunteer organizations were informed by me and the other heads of the purpose. I think a lot of people have already misunderstood the purpose. It was very clear that the purpose of that joint conference was actually just to categorically state that none of the candidates were withdrawing as a response to numerous calls for them to withdraw in favor of another candidate. They found it necessary because there were several speculations already ongoing that this candidate will withdraw for this candidate because of this for whatever reason. So it was jointly decided to issue that clarification.
All right.
Para
so,
malinaw po.
Okay. At para malinaw din, because there were seeming inconsistencies there, Attorney Lawenco, your
yes.
principal was there to say that they will not be withdrawing, that they will finish the race. And yet, in the end, Mayor Isko Moreno said that he is asking Vice President Lenny Robredo to withdraw. How does that make sense? That it works... It would only work for her, but not for them? Tell us.
Yes. Well, actually, as I said, the primary goal was actually to state that they will not be withdrawing. However, after the reading of the statement, there were several questions asked by the reporters on hand. It was asked of, and then Secretary Gonzalez stated that perhaps there should be a change in players if the play is not being made. And so, in addition to that, our candidate, Mayor Isko Moreno, made the suggestion that perhaps it is Madam Vice President Lenny who should withdraw. But that is a call that has already been percolating in our minds because ever since last year, there were several calls for our candidate to withdraw, the slash tag withdraw Isko. And it intensified for the last few weeks. And I believe our candidate was just responding in kind, based also on our studies that perhaps... given our joint objective, perhaps a Lenny withdrawal would be better than a withdrawal of our candidate.
How does that make sense that the number two will withdraw in favor of 3, 4, and 5? Tell us how that makes sense in your campaign.
Well, yes. Well, first of all, there were statements why should we not ask number one to withdraw. I feel that's illogical because wala naman pong number one mag-withdraw. So with regards to the number two, our studies show that the vote of Madam Vice President has a cap, and it will never bridge that gap. And as a second choice, she falls last. So our studies show that a Lenny withdrawal will produce a difference between the front runner and the remaining of 16%, while a withdrawal of our candidate will probably increase the lead of number one. Based on the second choice aspect and the choice of where the voters will go once a candidate will go. So it does not necessarily mean that if number three or number four withdraws, that these votes will go to number two. However, our studies show that a withdrawal by the number two will benefit the ones in the lower rank.
Here's the thing. Another thing that Manila Mayor Isko Moreno said. He said in that press conference that nothing that the vice president, of course, this is not verbatim, but basically he's saying that whatever the vice president is doing right now is not causing a dent against Marcos. It's not working. Question is, what has he done to create any dent? And wasn't he also the one who said, move on, this is not because of two families anymore? Earlier on in the campaign, that's what the mayor said. And he's saying this now. Go ahead, attorney.
Yes, well, when we say move on, it means we move on from the issue of one party against the other. Now, insofar as Dent is concerned, we are just talking about one candidate being the front runner. And from our point of view, whatever the Madam Vice President's camp has been doing, it has only brought them to a certain level. So what we are saying that perhaps it is time to have a change of strategy. If any of us would like to break or beat the number one, then perhaps a change of tack or strategy is in order. And what we're offering is perhaps a choice of the other candidates could probably be a better way, given our mutual objective, of course, to beat number one. In any competition, that is the common goal, to be the number one.
But couldn't the same thing be said about your campaign? You didn't just end up at a certain level. You reached a certain level and then fell behind.
Well, yes. Number one, the premise is we have our own internal survey, which does not show the same results. Number two, again, we give the aspect of second choice. The aspect of if one withdraws, how many votes will go or where will the votes will go. So it's not an aspect of number two or number three or number four, but where the vote will migrate in probability. But as I said, this is our studies and it is our belief. And this is where we base our call and our actions. Now, insofar as where we are, again, we contest that particular statement. But again, it is as per studies.
There was one presidential bet that was not present during that press conference, that Senator Manny Pacquiao. What does he know about that press conference? Did he know that it was going to be, in the end, a call for the vice president to withdraw from the race? Was that in the plan?
As I said, I believe the understanding of all the candidates was just what is on the statement, which is a joint manifestation that none of them will withdraw, that they will stay the course and they will not, and they are negating the call for them to withdraw. I believe that every candidate who was supposed to attend knew that. Insofar as the call for withdrawal, as we stated, that was an answer or response to a particular question and to the answer of Secretary Gonzalez, it was an add-on. It was something that has been percolating in our minds, but the opportunity presented itself. And so that call was presented.
Aren't you concerned that that presents the mayor as being inconsistent? Again, as I questioned a while ago, why should it work for him and not for the vice president and vice versa?
Well, as we said, our studies show that primarily it will work only for Isko because he's the top insofar as second choice is concerned. Meaning, if any candidate withdraws, most of these candidates' voters will go to him. Whereas the opposite is true for Madam Vice President Leni, our studies show that if she withdraws, most of her votes will go to Isko or the other candidates. But if our candidate withdraws, most of our votes will actually go to the number one front runner.
Yeah, but that's the second choice. That's another template altogether.
Yes.
Shouldn't he be showing up in the numbers right now and not in the second choice question?
Well, again, as you said, we do not believe that we're number three, we're number two. Second, we believe that, again, the aspect of second choice comes in if one candidate withdraws. That is why the question of second choice becomes relevant or germane when one candidate is being asked to withdraw. Now, the aspect of voter migration is also the other aspect of that issue.
What do you say, Attorney Lawenco, to the former supporters of Mayor Isko Moreno, who said that the mayor and the others present in that press conference only thought of nothing but themselves? In the statement signed by your former ally, former MMDA General Manager Tim Orbos, he said, one thing missing in the Easter drama, you all mentioned all about yourselves and how you all felt, but never about the Filipino people or how the Filipino people felt and fared in this. Sarili muna, nakalimutan ang tao. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, Mr. Tim Orbos is my friend, not just my colleague. He's still a friend. Well, I think, I consider him my friend as of this moment. But at any rate, we respect their views, as we always state. This is democracy where indifference of opinions and views should be welcomed, and we do not impose our beliefs on them. But insofar as our purpose has always been clear, tao muna. We offer our platform of government, which is people-centric, and we feel that our platform is superior to the other platforms. That is why we are presenting ourselves to the Filipino people to try us and trust us. And that is the that is an important aspect of what we are doing. That's our end goal, to be able to win in this election, to be able to implement and execute our platforms, which we feel is superior to the other platforms.
Even if you say that, Attorney Loenco, again, the question, why doesn't it show? Why do you think people are not taking to the platform or the messaging that you're giving them?
Well, I think as a lot of people are saying, there are cannibalization of votes. No, there are so many candidates that are showing up. And we feel that, however, as we stated, we cannot buy into the premise of the surveys being come out. And we feel that our internal survey shows a much better picture or snapshot of the election. And we feel that we are number two. So we would rather not answer that question, because the premise for us, we think, is flawed. We are not far behind.
So if you're number two, if you believe your internal surveys, why did you even have to go on that press conference? And why did you even have to ask the vice president to withdraw? And to the point that some are making, that the press con showed nothing but weakness on the part of your principal and the other candidates present.
Yes. Well, first of all, we came into that conference with a clear objective, no? Which is to dispel the rumors and allegations that our candidates are withdrawing, and to show alternatives to whoever other candidates are. It's not a one-on-one. It falls squarely on our objective to prove that our surveys are correct. It's not a one-on-one, but rather a three or a four-way fight, contrary to what is being peddled right now. So we also object to the that we are being pictured as weak because of that statement. There was no admission on weakness on our part, but just as we stated, our objective was just to state those particular aspects, that we are not withdrawing.
Attorney Loenco, who do you think benefited from that press conference?
Well, of course, it is hard to say at this particular point. Everybody has their own opinion. But at the end of the day, we feel that we did benefit insofar as we were able to express and clarify the situation. That we are sorry if the planners of the other campaign are banking on the withdrawal of the other candidates to buttress their numbers. We just wanted to clarify that we will not be withdrawing, and please do not factor in our withdrawal or possible withdrawal as part of your campaign strategy. It was also a courtesy to them to clarify the situation, and a courtesy to their followers who may be falsely hoping or expecting the said withdrawal.
What about the sexism and the machismo that was on display during that press conference? What do you have to say about that?
Well, first of all, I don't agree. But again, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. We would have made the same statement if it were Senator Marcos who asked us to withdraw, or whoever candidate asked us to withdraw. We would have made the same statement.
The same statement, so like, kasi babae?
No, the same statement that we were not be withdrawing. I think the statement na... the issue came up when our candidate stated that nahihiya kami to say something during the debate. It was actually this fear that the gender card would be issued that they didn't want to state it. However,
and yet they did. That, and
yes,
yet your principal
they felt
did.
It was important to already state it, because kumakalat na masyado yung statements that, you know, we were being asked to withdraw, so they made that statement. But there was no gender issue involved. As our mayor said, their issue was based on what they perceive as character or a character flaw in asking them to withdraw. And then when we ask the same things, we are pilloried for saying basically the same thing.
Okay. Tell me how this appears to you, or how this sounds to you. Mm-hmm. Nahihiya kasi kami, baka ma-offend, babae. Ayaw namin talaga. There was a time sa debate, kami ni Senator Ping, gusto namin mag-ano eh. Kaya lang nahihiya kami kasi babae. That's coming from Senator Isko Moreno. How does that sound to you?
Well, as I told, we are very much, much aware of the strategy of playing a gender victim card. With due respect to, it's a valid campaign strategy. And
no,
I do not
this is we're not
that.
Talking about. I'm sorry to cut you there, but this is not a strategy that I'm talking about. This is the exact quote coming from your principal.
Yes. As I was saying, he was aware of that. That's why they were all hesitant to attack anyone. In fact, and because they were aware that if they did so, you know, our society might frown upon them, whether right or wrong, because we have to admit, in our society, you cannot, especially if the two of you are men, attack a single female and not receive certain reactions from our society and culture, which is what's happening right now.
But that's also sort of boxing or putting women in a box, right? And it's sort of a reverse sexism machismo that's happening there. I mean, you could very well say what you want to say. I mean, this is the presidential race that we're talking about. If you believe that gender does not have a place in this, then you could just say it.
Yes, but they believe gender should not have a place, but we should be aware of the situation that in our society, when you hit too much, especially if they're two of your males, then there will be some extreme reactions, which is in fact what's happening right now.
Yeah. Do you find it ironic, Attorney Lawenko, that this is exactly what you wanted to avoid, yet this is exactly where you are right now?
Yes, because the situation has painted us in a corner that, you know, perhaps it is a high time to respond in kind, as you said, so, and then test the waters. Because we were boxed in a situation where we had to respond in kind. The general call for our candidate to withdraw by their supporters and their camp has grown and intensified and is already reached a certain level that the response at this particular point was needed. And despite our misgivings about the reactions, we felt that, you know, it was high time to say that, to counter that statement. And our candidate has always been transparent. He always wants to say what he feels. He does not like to, as we say, hide what he feels. He's very transparent. Yun ang naramdaman niya at that particular point.
All right. Let's talk about the other key point, the other key takeaway from that press conference. It talks about destabilization. Why is your principal peddling? Talks about destabilization, possible scenarios about destabilization. Does the mayor have proof that this will indeed happen? Should either of them win?
Yeah, but if you were there in the conference, there's no statement on destabilization initiated by the candidates. There was a question from one of the reporters which stated to our candidate, there was an allegation that one candidate said that kung hindi sila manalo, magkakagulo. So that statement by the candidates was in response to that question by the reporter. It's not part of the statement package at that particular point. Mm-hmm. So they were responding what they know of or what they feel that should is would, if that were true, then this is our statement against it.
You're talking about that one press conference. I'm also talking about a previous interview that the mayor had with the same correspondent that asked that question. And in that interview, he was talking about destabilization. He was talking about, in so many words, how he is going to be how he is the one that should win, because if he wins, that there will be no sort of thing happening. You're nodding your head. I'm assuming you know about that interview.
Yes, I was there when many of the statements were made. No? The statement, actually, if you take in context, is that what our thesis is that if either of the two camps win, the other camp will be in uproar, stating or will not be accepting the results. So,
and you know this because,
well, that's our analysis. I'm sorry, it's our opinion, and so we're stating our opinion and our analysis, our thesis that because of the polarity of the issues of the two camps. And the level of emotion involved in any of the discourse, we feel that, and the mayor feels that, if any of the either two camps, there will be some, how would you say it, kaguluhan in Tagalog, as he states it, and that is our thesis, or there will be some problems, so we offer ourselves as a third solution. Para wala nang galo, we offer ourselves and the other candidates as an alternate solution, because there is less polarization in our campaign.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say to the people who don't see this as an opinion, as an analysis, but see this coming from your camp as fact?
Well, as I said, that is our thesis based on our studies and our finding. That's our opinion. If they have a different opinion, then this is a free country.
No, but I'm talking about the recipients.
Feel free to be offended. I mean, that's what democracy. If you feel offended to our opinions and statements, then you are free to be offended and state something against it. And then we are free to be offended that you are offended.
No, Attorney Loenco, I'm not even talking about the other side. I'm talking about what do you think about people who, or what do you say to people who receive this analysis and opinion of yours as not as analysis and opinion, but as fact, because it is coming from your principal without even saying that this is an analysis or this is only an opinion coming from him.
We cannot control how people accept or read into his statements. But as of now, we are telling you that we're stating an opinion based on our studies. So it's a thesis. So with the limited time we have going around, we cannot sit down and explain to everybody, no, this is just an opinion. Because we feel that people should know. And that if we are asked, we state that it is a thesis or an opinion. Again, it is up to the people to discern whether they can check it, fact or not. And there are many people who do fact-checking. So, as I said, this is an opinion based on our studies and this is our thesis.
All right. And we're going to have to leave it at that. Attorney Gilbert Loenco there.
Thank you.
The head of the volunteers for Mayor Isko Moreno. We appreciate you coming to the show. Thanks for taking
our
call.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And from there, polling precincts in New York now up and running after some delays. ABS-CBN North America Bureau Chief TJ Manotok found this report.
6 days after it was originally scheduled, the testing and sealing of vote counting machines finally took place at the designated polling place at the Philippine Center in New York City on Wednesday morning last week. Now, two out of the four VCMs were fired up initially and prepped up for mock voting to make sure these vote counting machines are working properly. The Special Board of Election Inspectors Chair Consul Ricarte Abejuela says that with 39,048 registered voters on the Northeast Coast, the FTS verified 20 polling precincts for the 10 states covered by the Philippine Consul General in New York. Each precinct covers 1,000 voters. Now, among those who tested the machines were members of the press and official poll watchers from different political parties. The machines were also stress tested for potential glitches, including overcounts and undercounts. But only a fraction of the nearly 40,000 ballots have been mailed out as of Wednesday last week. But the New York Consulate made assurances they will be able to mail out all the remaining ballots by Monday, April 18th.
We're targeting that by before the end of the week. Siguro Sunday, matapos na natin itong mga almost 40,000 ballots that we have to send out.
It's still a small percentage, to be honest, but we are constantly working on it.
Meanwhile, over in Washington, D.C., where the Philippine Embassy, which also serves as a election post that serves 35,511 voters, also had delays in receiving their election materials. On their part, what they got first was the VCMs that were able to test and seal on April 5, but the delays affected their ballots, which they say were only completed middle of last week and have been sending them out as fast as they can. Only mailed or hand-delivered ballots that arrive at the consulates or the embassy on May 9th before 7 a.m. Eastern Time or 4 a.m. Pacific Time will be counted. Ballots that arrive after that will not be counted. And interestingly, the consulates say they are unsure if they can update the media and the public on the actual count of ballots mailed out so far, and they have reached out to the COMELEC for guidance on that.
Classes in all public schools nationwide will be suspended from May 2 to 13. All students from kinder to grade 12 are covered by that class suspension. The Education Department says this is to make way for national election-related activities of teachers and other personnel. Teachers will serve as electoral board members during the national polls on May 9th. I'm going to take a break now. Up ahead, Shanghai reports its first COVID death since the start of the city's lengthy lockdown. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Robredo campaign and former supporters of Isko Moreno slammed Sunday's press conference, where Moreno called on the vice president to withdraw from the presidential race. The head of the Moreno campaign volunteer team, attorney Gilbert Loenco, says their internal survey shows the Manila mayor is number two in the presidential race and will have a better chance of beating Marcos if Robredo withdraws. No surrender for Ukraine's forces defending the port city of Mariupol as Russia's deadline expires. Shanghai reports its first COVID death since implementing a lengthy lockdown. And a WHO official echoes the warning of Philippine health experts of a possible COVID surge in the country next month. Ukraine vows to fight until the end in Mariupol after a Russian ultimatum for the remaining forces in the port city to surrender expires. Russia's defense ministry says there are up to 400 mercenaries inside an encircled steel plant. They had called on them to lay down their arms to save their lives. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says if Russian forces kill the remaining troops defending the city, that would put an end to the fledgling peace talks. Russian President Vladimir Putin has already said the negotiations were at a dead end. Pope Francis calls for peace in Ukraine during what he calls an Easter of war. He urged world leaders to hear the people's plea. The Pope says Ukraine is being dragged into a, quote, cruel and senseless war.
We have seen all too much blood. All too much violence. Our hearts have been filled with fear and anguish, as so many of our brothers and sisters have had to lock themselves away in order to be safe from bombing. We struggle to believe that Jesus is truly risen, that he has truly triumphed over death. Today, more than ever, we need him at the end of Lent that has seemed endless.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky speaks with International Monetary Fund Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva to discuss the country's post-war reconstruction. Zelensky said they also talked about ensuring Ukraine's financial stability. He said he is optimistic cooperation between the IMF and his country will continue to be fruitful. Georgieva said continued support is essential to lay the foundations for rebuilding a modern and competitive Ukraine. Ukraine will attend the IMF and World Bank meetings in Washington this week to seek more financial assistance. The World Bank earlier warned Ukraine's economy may shrink by 45% this year due to Russia's invasion. Well, local pump prices are going up again this week. Diesel will see the biggest price hike of 1 peso and 70 centavos per liter. Gasoline and kerosene prices will each rise by 45 centavos per liter. Prices at the world oil market rose again last week on news the European Union might face in a ban on Russian oil imports. Meanwhile, prices of pork are also going up by about 10 pesos per kilo due to high demand after the Holy Week. Shanghai reports its first COVID death since the start of its weeks-long lockdown. Authorities say three elderly people with underlying conditions infected with COVID have died in the hospital. Their ages range from 89 to 91. Shanghai is under a lockdown as it struggles to contain China's worst COVID outbreak since the start of the pandemic. It posted over 22,000 local cases Monday. The Philippines recorded 195 new COVID-19 cases Sunday, the lowest daily tally so far this year. The number of active cases was also the lowest since January 1st at 21,038. The health department also reported five new deaths. But the Okta Research Group warns a slight uptick in COVID cases may occur over the next few days following the Holy Week break.
The best indicator is the positivity rate. So since hindi naman nag-decrease yung positivity rate, it means na more or less we should be expecting the same number of cases. So I expect a slight uptick next week as testing resumes. It could be a smaller surge, parang uptick or a smaller increase in cases. Ito, we could be reaching mga 4,000, 5,000 cases per day.
The World Health Organization echoes Philippine health officials' warning the number of active cases here in the country may reach 300,000 by May. But acting WHO representative to the Philippines, Dr. Rahindra Yadav, asserts it could still be prevented. He cites the need to increase the country's COVID booster coverage and strict implementation of the face mask mandate.
We have to prove those numbers wrong. That's the challenge we face. If we have the low coverage that we have with vaccines in many barangays and many provinces, and if we relax our guards, if we relax our defenses, then yes, it's possible to get to those numbers, because in Korea, which has South Korea, which has half the population of the Philippines, they have already touched 600,000 cases per day. That's huge. And there is no way of saying how that will affect the Philippines if we lower our guards. The good thing is that Filipinos are one of the best in terms of wearing a mask.
The Bureau of Internal Revenue reminds the public to file their annual income tax returns today. It asserts the deadline will no longer be extended. The filing of ITRs was supposed to end on April 15, but the deadline was moved to Monday, April 18, due to the Holy Week break. The BIR has allowed as well for the filing of a tentative ITR, which taxpayers may amend until May 16 without penalty. But it notes that privilege will not be granted if they do not file their taxes within the day. In sports, the Boston Celtics squeaked past the Brooklyn Nets 115-114 in their NBA playoff opener behind a buzzer beater by All-Star Jason Tatum. Tatum made a layup as time expired, preventing the Nets from stealing game one of their first-round matchup on the road. The Celtics' main man finished with 31 points, while Jaylen Brown added 23. Kyrie Irving led Brooklyn with 39 points. Game two is set for Wednesday, still in Boston. Filipino pole vaulter E.J. Obiena will be the Philippines' flag bearer at the Parade of Nations in the 31st SEA Games opening ceremony. Obiena is a favorite to once again bring home the gold medal in the men's pole vault. In 2019, he topped the podium and set a new SEA Games record of 4.45 meters. The Philippines is sending over 580 athletes to the Games, which will kick off on May 12th. In entertainment, K-pop superstars BTS will be coming back with new music in June. They made that announcement at the conclusion of their sold-out stint in Las Vegas. The new album is slated to drop on June 10. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. Well, friends and colleagues continue to pay tribute to veteran sports broadcaster and former hardball host Boyet Sison, who passed away Saturday. Dino Ponte Oreg reports.
Tributes continue to pour in for longtime ABS-CBN sports media personality Jose Boyet Sison. He passed away on Saturday, just 2 days after undergoing surgery for an intestinal illness. Sison was 58. He last appeared as a segment host for TV Patrol, but Sison is best known for hosting sports talk shows Hardball on ANC and Fast Break on DZMM. His friends and colleagues still in shock over his passing. Aside from Sison's booming voice, they recalled the positive vibes that he brought wherever he went and his signature bow tie. Veteran boxing analyst Ed Tolentino described Sison, more popularly known as Papa B, as the life of every conversation.
The number one that strikes out sa kanya, yung booming voice niya. Kasi sa tipong nasa pasilyo ka pa lang,
Binig mo na.
Binig mo na yung bahigay, di ba?
Oo, hindi mo kailangan ng megaphone kapag boses ni Boyet. But of course, yung kanyang passion sense, ano? Talaga naman nakita mo, postura. Si Boyet, napaka-postura, yung kanyang trademark bow tie.
Sison's Fast Break co-host, basketball legend Freddie Webb, says he learned a lot from Sison.
And I was blessed to have had the opportunity to share a program with Boyet. Dami ko natutunan. One of the things that I learned from him, no, is how to dance. We might have lost you, but it was a gain for your mom. I have so much admiration for him.
For former Fast Break producer Ding Dong Marco, Sison was more than a co-worker.
Nagulat ako. Pinati lang kita nung isang gabi. I will remember Boyet as my brother. Dun sa mga simpleng gesture niya sa'yo.
Well, Boyet also loved his chicharron. We finished a lot of bags in the newsroom. And so, Boyet, one last time, brought something for you. This is for you. Rest in peace. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.